timeframe, we all kind of realized that the proposal that was sent in didn't match any of the numbers, and we started reading through it, and they hadn't seen, from what our take was, they hadn't seen the new RFP. So we've decided to go ahead and extend to the 22nd, contact them, say please review the current RFP, and take till the 22nd to get back to us. And later that afternoon, they replied via email to the office, said they read the current RFP and were not willing to submit one and would like to withdraw their proposal. So now we have nobody or no proposals to review. So there was kind of a discussion with Daryl and I and stuff on how to move forward. Internally, Public Works has been discussion options, wanted to come today and get some feedback on a direction maybe to go. So we put together a short list that should be in the package. Just some topics. Repost the current RFP for an extended amount of time. We've spent a lot of money in advertising so far. I don't know if that's our best option. Post a different RFP as a mini mart hamburger place and work off the current 10% profit of gross sales. We could look at leasing the building to a vendor to cover costs. Four, we operate ourselves as a mini mart hamburger stand. When I use those terms, it's kind of up in the air. Hire a part-time employee as a cook when the park is open. Have one person work in the mini mart, be in charge of ordering, keeping track of sales. This person will be a full-time and work in the office when parks are closed to complete reservations, grant writing. We'd move all sales to this location, ice, wood, souvenirs, parts, whatever else that would need to be in a mini mart. Parks is paying $44,059 a year in office staff, working on figures to, we're just looking at where funding is. And then option five, operate solely as a market with no food from the kitchen, or we can close and rent as specialty buildings such as weddings and special events. Been quite a bit of discussion with Greg. He's actually had a meeting at 1:30 today with PGE. They're willing to give him 5,000 tons of wood chips.
I knew that might be coming.
And they're willing to.
They're going to deliver it.
And they're going to deliver it. So that's something. So he's up meeting with them this afternoon at the park. So, guys, you guys had some feedback. I kind of have a. I talked to Greg about this. A little bit. The more we talk, the more he's excited about it. I know our master parks plan that we're working on.
Which parts are you excited about?
Which one?
Four. I know our master parks plan is kind of working into the, you know, someday maybe get fuel up there. I mean, it opens us up to a whole bunch more. I know fuel would be a great thing at the park to be able to people riding, driving up there. And I could kind of see that in the future maybe as a, you know, a Devon Oil mini mart. People stop in and get Gatorade, pop, candy bars, you know, they got deli. I mean, I don't know, stock mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup. People travel up there to camp for the weekend and forgot ketchup or mayonnaise or buns, you know. Little bit aspirin. I mean, batteries. Kind of like what you...
Band-Aid.
So anyways, that was kind of his thought on it was maybe we scale back. I mean, from trying to be a full-blown restaurant is more of a, you know, snack shack, deli, like it originally started many years ago. I mean, back in... I'd have to go back and look at the dates, but you know, it started out as a trailer up there. Then they built the structure to kind of give protection for the people, the trailer. Then they moved the trailer out and built the whole kitchen. So.
How long is it operated as a restaurant?
It opens on, what is it May 15?
I mean, how many years have they been operating?
Harris's, this was their third. Bobette was in there, I think, two.
Two.
And I think it was Bob before
Six, 7, 8 years.
Six, yeah.
I think Kim and Ron Carlson, I think, took their deal up there at one point.
Their car.
Is that, sound, is that right, Karen? I'm quite certain they had their...
It was a car.
Yeah.
A truck.
Yeah, what? Yeah. Could probably park at the fairgrounds or at the rodeo grounds. Yeah. I know they had it up there one summer. How long has it been? So it's 6 or 8 years.
And it was 2012 was the year the... In 2009, Marlboro County Parks built a 30-by-50 shop storage building. Concrete, the entire floor and dining meeting area was developed as a concession trailer to provide food service. So that was 2009 is when they built the building. In May of 2012, development to use the area, the concession trailer was parked in and developed this area for a full service kitchen. So May of 2012 is when they developed it into a full kitchen. So, yeah, here, 5, 6 years.
As a restaurant.
And Harris has left there for two of that?
Three. I think they were up there 2 years, and then the previous court extended it a year.
Okay.
Yeah. They were there in 15, 16, and 17.
Yeah. And then the Public Works and Parks were dissatisfied enough that they didn't feel they should re-up it for various sundry reasons, and so that's brought us to where we're at.
So my concern, having extensive experience in the convenience store business, is we don't have enough sales to cover our labor. And I believe that's a real possibility. I mean, even in an isolated place like that, you're not going to make more than a 35% margin on products. And it's pretty easy to figure the labor cost, number of hours open per day, times an hourly rate on labor, and then that would tell you what your gross sales would have to be just to cover the labor costs. I don't believe we cover that nut. I mean, I personally would not pay somebody to operate that as a convenience store if the rest of the building was free to me. I've had convenience stores in some pretty marginal places, and they were all much better than this location.
You say it's 35%.
Mm-hmm. 35% would be a high number.
Are you trying to incorporate this $44,000 in office staff into that?
Yeah, it was a little unclear there, sir.
Well, and that was, it's just been conversation. I wasn't, mm-hmm. I mean, we're just trying to figure out some, you know, right now he pays, Parks pays 30% of the office, management assistant, Kirsty Kaysen's wages. And then he pays a full percentage on a part-time park specialist, reservation specialist. So that was conversation back and forth was, you know, they're busy starting January with the amount of reservations that come through, then that person could actually transition to the park and operate this during the season. And then your cook you would hire as a part-time, you know, no more than 6 months. And that could be a couple different retired people that are cooking, you know, somebody that's retired says, I'll cook June, July, but I want to hunt in August, and the other ones, you could rotate through that way. We were just trying to work numbers on what it would be. I ran some stuff by Karen on what that would classify as. I mean, depending on what you ask for.
Right.
I mean, we do have one person on staff that I think would do a phenomenal job at it if it went that way. But you still have the grant writing, the reporting to do, which could all be done in the off season. So that's what we're just trying to look at on what we're already doing. Can they do part of their job up there and help run that and answer the reservations and stuff like that? So
So just in this process, you know, I know money, Matt and I have had this ongoing conversation. He goes, and it typically came back to money. And I guess my opinion is it's going to cost us something anyway. It's going to, $14,000, I think, was the number I have in here somewhere. Based
the
on maintenance and utility bills and those kinds of things. So I guess when we were talking, we need to get, for me, we need to get down, what do we want? What is the value of this? Because no matter what, it's costing us money. Right. Is it going to cost us more money to have a convenience store? I don't know. We would have to. And part of the reason we don't have numbers, Matt was working as best he could, and I said, we got to get something in front of you guys in timely fashion before this meeting happens. So it's not that we weren't trying, just didn't quite get there. But so that really for me was, what does that look like? What's the vision for the landing area or HV Park? And then, because for me, I think I'd rather start with what do we want to provide, and then can we get there financially? But it's going to cost us something. Even if we broke even on salary and product or whatever those things are, it adds value to the experience of whoever's camping there, because it's nice. But instead of having to drive whatever it is, 45 minutes to an hour back to Hedner or somewhere else to get some mayonnaise or whatever those things are. So that's where I kept coming back to. I'm not worried about, not that I want to spend $14,000-$15,000, but for me, that's a given. We're stuck with that amount of money. Can we mitigate that a little bit and maybe it only cost us $8,000? Maybe. Because even with the restaurant, would we get $4,700 or something? Yeah, something, whatever our 10% was, is still a drop. It's a third.
There's still a loss.
Yeah, it's still a third of what we had before. So that's really where I came to. It's like, what do we want to provide, and can we find a way to do it? That, and again, my word with Matt was, this needs to be sustainable. This needs to be something we feel like we can do on a year-in, year-out basis. And if it grows, wonderful. If it doesn't grow and stays the same, from my perspective, I'm fine with that. So that's kind of my input and what has kind of led us here. I don't, as far as which one is the best one, I think we still have some analysis to do. But that was my approach to where do we go from here? The door's open now. Yay, now what's our opportunity? And what do we do with it? And so that's what brought us to this piece. And I appreciate Matt and Greg and Sandy's work and creating six options. But that's just so you know a little bit of background of the discussion that got us to where right here. Because again, the money wasn't as big a deal as to what we want to do. And if we can mitigate it, great. But we're still stuck with whatever it is if we don't do anything. And whatever we do needs to be sustained.
It's hard to comprehend or want to tell a constituent that we're running a mini mart at a loss, just somewhat a competitor to our. It's not. I would have had a really hard time had I known we were subsidizing a restaurant in the mountains at the tune of $10,000, looking people in the eye about our OHV park and saying. So I guess my thought on this is I don't feel comfortable saying that one of the services we provide is subsidizing a restaurant or a. So I guess that's kind of a big piece to me, a mini mart or a restaurant, even though it probably helps our park. But, I mean, should we give Buttons and Ordnance $10,000 to operate businesses in our county? And that's what it feels like. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. That's a hard pill for me to swallow now that I've seen the number.
Yeah, and I guess I would look at it as a more of a holistic view. Does it bring, we know it's costing us $10,000 to subsidize the restaurant, but does it bring us an additional $10,000 in revenue by people having a pleasant experience up there and want to come back? And,
sure.
And you know, that's the unknown that I don't know about. But I keep coming back to if we were to operate it ourselves, and Kate's husband's in the business a little bit, so she has knowledge of this.
Quite a bit.
Pretty well. I would think if we ran a convenience store up there and didn't sell alcohol and tobacco, we'd be lucky to get $300 a day in revenue.
Lucky, yeah.
I mean, that would be a...
Seasonally.
Yeah, that would, I mean, weekends are probably going to do that. During the week, we're probably not going to do that.
No.
If we're going to be open 8 hours a day and our wage is $15 an hour, that's pretty easy, $120 on $100 of gross revenue. So we're going to lose $20 a day just on the wage part of it. And then we're still going to have the cost of utilities, insurance, and maintenance on that building on top of the $600 a month delta on the wage.
And I can tell you, just for our little store, our number one and number two departments are alcohol and tobacco.
Yeah.
We're basically a glorified convenience store down there. Ice is huge. And I understand that. Ice up there, golden.
Yeah, I mean.
But everything else is going to be really good.
Well, there's also employment pool. I know every restaurant in town struggles to keep a cook. I mean, if you could cross over your current staff, but I don't know if we...
That's I don't think we could cross over the staff. I mean, we just looked at, if you were going to have somebody oversee it, put that as the same person as, you know, doing reservations in the spring and doing grant stuff, and see where that went. The cook, I see more as a part-time person. People are retired that want to come up and bark and spend, you know, a month up there cooking and doing stuff, and then maybe it's somebody that wants to stay there the whole season, you know. But
why did we pull the plug? I thought you said you were reposting the RFP and giving them opportunity to revisit it. Why is that RFP still not reposted out there?
It was recommended that we step back and come to you guys to talk about what we need to go forward.
Okay.
So we did. That's why we're here.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you can buy an ice machine and bag your own ice, too.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I did that, and the margin on that goes way up.
Yes.
I mean, all you're paying for is water, electricity, and a plastic bag that costs you a couple pennies. And
I know the OHV Park has the cheapest ice vendor in the state. We can't get them in IOM, but you guys can get them.
Well, and I don't have the figures with me how much you did in ice just in, what was it, a month and a half or 2 months?
Yeah, I can't remember. But
it,
you pay like $1.25 a bag, I think, which...
Yeah, then he has to put one over at the Cutsport now. And he's getting it delivered bulk at the OHV, and then he takes it to Cutsport, and I mean, they couldn't keep enough ice at Cutsport, because August and September, all the elk hunters are up there hunting, and they don't want to drive 45 miles all the way back to Hebner to get ice, when they can stop right at the bottom of the hill and take a shower and get ice and go right back up to camp. So,
the Department of Agriculture will... We used to sell ice by the bag, and they found fault with that and wanted to know how big the bag was. And we said, we don't care, it's a dollar. I mean, this is 20 years ago, so. And they said, well, how much weight's in there? I said, don't care, it's a dollar a bag. Pick through the box and get the big one if you want. They're all a dollar. And they couldn't, I mean, they didn't like the answer, but they couldn't do anything about it either. They just wanted us to put in a scale and pay a fee and...
Have it inspected.
Tell them that each bag of ice was 10 or 12 pounds or whatever a bag of ice was.
I got a quick question for you. The challenge I'm having is had they filled out our quote-unquote form we wanted them to fill out, I know the criteria you guys looked at was experience, labor, and materials and approach. I had zero problem finding all of those things in what they submitted. And if you look at what their experience is, you'd have a hell of a time going much under 50. They've been there 3 years. I mean, they haven't run a restaurant in New York. So they're going to come in close to that. Labor and materials was worth 25 points. You're going to come in close to that. Approach is where we have the problem. I would assume Public Works and the parks would have given them a zero. Maybe some of the other folks would have said, at least they're up there. There's somebody up there. So arguably, they'd have got a 75. I still feel like we'd be here today, and it was a pass-fail, as I understand, because there's a challenge with that provider. And until we get to that, we're not moving ahead. And one other thing we need to add here is the number 7, and that's just we mothball it. We board it up, and that would be my recommendation at this point, because I'm sick to death of the approach the county's taken. I really am. I'm not going to open up a can of worms here and spell out what truly transpired, but that's where we're at. And so until you can explain to me why we can't look at what they submitted and come up with a reasonable score, and if they had followed our stuff, I still feel we'd be here. Because it's not about this. It's about the vendor. And if we're not going to get there, I got no interest in discussing this any further. And I've got no interest in the county operating this at a $10,000 loss and kicking a constituent out that's operating it, eating it at a $10,000 cost to the county. So that's where I'm at. And I'm sick to death of discussing it, quite frankly. So can you speak to that?
Yes.
Do you have a problem coming up with a score on what they submitted?
No, the thing is when we opened up and I started reading is the RFP, this middle of the closing date, you know, we went through when you start down through on section four, contractors, capabilities, experiences, responses. So when I read an RFP and they go back, when I look at this, most of the time it compiles over to this site to what I'm reading. And that's how if we're doing a fencing contractor, a trucking contractor, they hit those points, you know, in that point. So the operating hours were there, the menu, you know, we asked specifically for a menu on it. And it was just, when you start reading down through it and realizing that this, I believe, was the last RFP that was posted 3 years ago. And I think it was just whatever was sent 3 years ago was just sent to us. And I thought we were doing the most professional thing by looking at it and really getting a feeling that they hadn't seen the current one and requested, would you like to take the current one? And we're going to extend it to the 22nd. And we're going to review again. And Sandy did a very nice job of sending them the thing and saying, please take a look at this because I don't think you've seen this.
Yeah.
And it was an immediate... No, we're not even...
Did Sandy by chance open up their email when they sent it in? It was 3 or 4 days prior to the due date.
Yes, it was on Monday.
Yeah, and I think the first sentence was, I hope this is what you're looking for. And as a professional courtesy, he said, no, this isn't what we're looking for. He didn't fill out our damned RFP. We could have reached out to them just a little bit. I went to our administrator and I said, when you get on our website and they've got the hyperlink to get this RFP, this is 2 days before it's due. You couldn't hyperlink to it. Just took us back around to the fuel one.
Isn't that what giving them an opportunity, another 30 days to respond, was doing?
Sure, that's a valid point. Well, why not, since they are the only one that showed any interest, that we don't open it back up and pray to God that anybody will come in, and we just work with those. That was never made an option. You got a valid point, but to my point, if they rework what they did send in, because it answers the criteria, it answers the questions we were after. If they fill it out in our form, where are we then?
Well, to me, helping massage somebody, that'd be like me reaching out to John Qualls and telling him to give us a better presentation, and going back and saying, instead of a pass-fail, instead of putting it through the judgment and saying no, going back then and saying, hey, this didn't meet the criteria, give us another.
Yeah.
The one thing that's jumped out to me in reviewing it is it was illegal to say that they're going to manage under volunteer labor. So there was pieces in there that could have just said, to me, no. I just feel like giving them the opportunity to... I don't know what your can of worms is, and maybe we all need to understand it, but I feel like they were given the opportunity to re-engage, and why didn't they just do that? And I don't know that answer.
Yeah. It looks to me look more like we spelled out 10 criteria. And we said, if you can hit these marks, we'll consider you.
Well,
and that's not an RFP. We just need to put that out there and say, here's what we want. And if there's anybody out there in Oregon that can come and do these things, we'll talk to you. Otherwise, we're not interested.
It seems to me if we want the RFP that we have to reanalyze it because we're not getting anybody to respond to our actual RFP. They don't want to do what the RFP asked. They want to do it differently. And no one else responded. So do we need to reduce what we're asking for and put out a new RFP that is a reduced thing that maybe then they do now fit into? Because they don't fit into the box. I mean, I hear what you're saying and your frustration, but going back to them and saying redo this seems to be exactly what we did.
Yes, but it's not going to look any different than what they've submitted. And there's at this point, they tell me that this is the menu. I mean, their RFP at what they've sent in is what they will do. And I have no problem reading it and understanding that this is what they can do for us.
So if
they can fill it out 10 different ways, and it's still only going to be this.
If I ask for a blue elephant and you tell me I only have a red elephant, I don't have to adapt to your red elephant. I get to go ask for a
right.
blue elephant, or I need to revise it and see if you want to make.
Right, or you need to say, like you said, maybe we're overreaching.
Right.
And maybe we can't ask for, you know, them to supply breakfast at 7:30 5 days a week because as a business model, it doesn't work.
We've got no response to that.
We got no response to that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're any closer to an answer.
No, I mean, I know the Harrises are trying to break even or make a profit there. I mean, that's why people get into business. I mean, you can only do it for the fun of it for so long before you got to put food on the table and pay the bills. Maybe we come back with a landing restaurant, give us proposals, and see what happens. And rather than us predetermining what we want to do, that doesn't work for anybody apparently because nobody responded to it.
Sure.
And if it was a gravy train thing, we would have had some response, but
ask for what can you do.
Right.
But the same risk is still at stake if they come back and if they should submit and it's still not what we would like to see. The same risk is still there that.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, what you're saying is or best offer.
Yeah.
So you know,
right.
we're ultimately going to get something back and we just go, okay, this is the level that they can provide. And this is the level, you know, the snack shack level, and this is the. Do we run into any challenges with, I know that we're right up against it with the land use challenges,
well,
the way it's set. Do we run into similar ones with Mini Mart?
Carlos said it doesn't meet the land use standard already. She said to be legal, you just need to shut it down.
And the louder this gets, and the more contentious on Facebook and in the paper, the more risk we run of the county doing, what we're doing.
That's what she called me that yesterday afternoon when she saw the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And just letting you know, that's what she said. I'm just letting you know, we still have not got that fixed. And what are those things are. So it doesn't meet the use of a restaurant.
And I guess I'd ask, I need to get this to Carla and ask for clarification. Because this is described to properly include the development business or facility. This is a land use compatibility statement. And it's for the full-service kitchen, new wall coverings, ceilings to the floor to be compliant with food and safety sanitation rules, pump for waste and disposal, and pump for water from the well house and all lines connected to existing lagoon systems and wastewater lines. And that was in 2012, since the activity or use is allowed.
I don't know. Just
to me, in that, what we have in documents show it can be used as a full-service kitchen.
I'd like a copy of that if I could. Then.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the question.
Carla would have said that. In light of that, and who does come from?
Like I said,
the applicant was Morrow County Public Works, a project named the Landing Kitchen, and it's signed by Carla.
Carla's made no secret of the fact that she doesn't think that's a legal use. She said it in planning. She said it a lot of times.
And this is what was in the file. I mean,
off on it in 2012.
It's a land use compatibility statement. So I take that as, but
Well, and rules change and things happen. I mean, I know she said, you know, it may be whatever it is from Oregon changing something or her getting up to speed or whatever.
And a little discussion I have.
She said we still got some work to do.
I go back to the way it used to be with a hole in the wall and a snack shack. You know, get a hamburger, some, you know, just a snack shack convenience. I mean, and I asked what do you sell there? I mean, can you sell pop and bottled water and Gatorade and chips and candy bars? And I mean, that's the 3 years ago, I went up there all the time. The last few years, I haven't. Just the few times I was up there, it was either closed or, you know, something, and I just didn't have lunch there that day. I asked Greg, I said, is that what the park visitors need? Do they need a full restaurant, or is it something that they're up there pulling in and the kids just want a bag of chips and a pepperoni stick and a candy bar? I mean, would you get more use out of that than a restaurant that's serving, you know, dinner on Friday night? Or, and that was my question to him. What do you see as a need up there? I mean, I said, look at how much you're selling in ice. I mean, if you had a thing there with Snickers ice cream bars and Butterfinger bars, how many would you sell to the kids riding a four-wheeler on a Saturday afternoon when it's 95 degrees? I mean, that's what I'm asking, what he sees. I don't spend any time up there. I don't have a four-wheeler. I mean, I don't know. Don spends some time up there. I mean, Karen, you know, been up there before.
What do you see number three looking like?
Number three is we'd have to sit down and really go through on what our total cost is. I mean, electricity, propane. Electricity's hard because it's... we've talked about splitting that meter because that power comes in and feeds it and the shower facility.
That wouldn't be that big a deal, would it?
It's about $5,000.
Oh.
If I correct the number right from what Kirsty stated me on.
Not monthly, annually, right?
I think that's a one-time
one-time
setup fee.
We need to do that for shopping.
And we talked about doing it, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money to spend just to separate out a meter.
Mm-hmm.
Separate out that out. What is the value to us? I mean, the building's built, the kitchen's there. I think as a landlord, renter, you're gonna have to figure out some kind of money to put back into a slush fund for a year, 5 years, 10 years, when you're having to start replacing kitchen equipment, replacing roof, fixing doors, you know, with that. So we just have to come up to a real hard cost of what we felt as a county is a fair amount per month, and they could run however they wanted to.
And how did you, the park director and park manager, feel? Is that your last choice?
I would assume that's one of our, the communication, I mean, just the, you know, if we could talk about what days they were open or what they were serving.
Right.
I mean, that was one of my ones I pushed when we started talking about this last week, was just lease it. Just lease it. Let them, you know. Then the topic came up about maybe in another year or 2 years when the master plan goes through and we can sell gas. I mean, do we want to give that to somebody, or does the county want to do that? Does the parks want? And that's where we got into the conversation of, what do you need there? I mean, and crazy. Once we started talking about just the little things, it's like, you know, that would be a great benefit to the people in the park. You know, just someplace to buy chips or a candy bar, or, I mean, you could do breakfast sandwiches if you had a cook to do breakfast sandwiches, microwave stuff. I mean, but I'm hearing that that's not going to pay, so.
Yeah, so what I think when I go up there, I mean, I have a fully self-contained RV, and my wife has food allergies, so she probably could not eat at the landing lodge. She wouldn't eat at the landing lodge for fear that she would get gluten cross-contamination and break out in an itchy rash the next day. So I'm probably not the guy to ask. If I was up there without my wife and some buddies, I mean, again, fully self-contained RV, We're going to take up the supplies that we think we need. May run out of ice, and I would buy ice. But other than that, you know, maybe lunch, maybe dinner. I'm not going to buy breakfast there because I'm not a big breakfast eater. And if I do, it's easy to, you know, everything I own's got a coffee pot in it, so it's easy to make a pot of coffee. And if you're a donut eater, bring some pastries from whatever grocery store you like. And I know my personal habits when I elk hunt up in the middle of nowhere after hunting 2 or 3 days, and if things are slow, we'll run into Ukiah and sometimes have lunch at the restaurant in Ukiah. But I wouldn't run in there. I mean, you know, for us, it's pretty simple stuff. Easy to have a barbecue and throw a hot dog on it, or a hamburger on a barbecue yourself. Dinner, if I've been out riding hard all day and I don't want to do it, that would be one I would eat, and I'd eat whatever is available. If you've been in the thicket at Ukiah, they don't have a big menu, but they're busy there during deer and elk season because there's a lot of hunters that haven't seen anything all day and they're coming into the thicket because they don't want to put together a meal in the evening. But there's a reason that a lot of convenience stores have closed down in rural America. There used to be one at Rugs. There used to be one at Fox. There used to be one at Dale. There used to be one...
Kimberly.
I mean, there used to be one at a lot of places, and they're not there anymore because people couldn't make a go of it. Not, I don't see us being any different, trying to make a go of a convenience store at a poor location. Especially when most people that are coming up there either day use or they're coming in a fully self-contained toy hauler. And they may forget their mayonnaise or their mustard, but they've got 95% of everything that they need. So if we think we're going to make a profit off of selling somebody a $3 bottle of mayonnaise, we're mistaken. And we'll make a dollar off that, and we may sell 10 a week.
One of the challenges, I know more Burke and Greg than make yourself, I've seen it expressed in some of the emails and in some of the RFPs, but it asks for a preference be given to park guests or park visitors, but there's a real shifting definition of what the hell that is. You know, is it somebody that drives, Shirley Rugg drives up, is she a park guest or a park visitor or a camper from Multnomah that's there, and so you know, if somebody that drives up from Hanson, right, are we going to give out passes maybe? And so those folks, you know, when they need one for a meal, will, you know, if you have one of these red cards, you can, you know, make sure you get a seat and pay, I guess.
The thing, and Greg and I talked about this the other day, and he said his feeling is it's hard guessing anybody drives through the gate. You know, he had had complaints of people that, you know, come up from Tri-Cities on a Friday to drive up there to go ride for the weekend and walk in and sit down to eat dinner. And there's a table eating prime rib or chicken fried steak, and they sit down there and say, can I have, nope, you didn't make a reservation. You know, and that was and you're going to have that, you know, but.
But there's some stuff out there, Matt, that says park guests or will get it is preferred that they
And we talked about that.
Yeah, so if that's the thought now, then that probably needs to go away.
Yeah, and Greg and I have had some good conversation on this, and I'm walking into this, you know, halfway. I mean, my thing is whatever happened before, whatever the feelings are that happened, you know, a month ago, we need to move on. I want to go forward.
Sure.
I got other things to be doing than sitting, you know, spending 10 hours a week on this.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
myself as well.
So
I do like your idea though of putting it out in a, you know, here's the locale, here's the folks, here's the facility. What can you come and do here?
Even reduce the request to more of a minimum. Now that we're looking at our true minimum, reduce the requirement a little bit to see if we garner additional inputs because we're not asking quite so much. Maybe we need to ask for less. With the caveat that if they apply, they apply, and they're run through the same rigor as anyone else, and if it's a pass-fail, it's pass-fail.
And that's why we kind of envision, you know, I hear from them how much they're making. You know, we brought, where's my sheet here? In 2015, Morrill County got $8,144.94 off of it. So they brought in $81,000 that year. That was a big fire year. 16 shows up 38.54, so the 38,000. Last year to date is 47.76. That will increase by $1,400, but we have not received their last check. So.
So they haven't paid their last payment.
The payment for October and November was non-sufficient funds. And we just heard today that it's in the mail. So when we did before.
Yeah.
So we have, I mean, that will increase by $1,399.55. Hopefully next week. We got an email today that it's on its way. So we want to look at, I guess, any lease. We want to sit down and just figure out what is fair.
But if you're on a lease, is the question of what are we leasing, and is it legal use? I mean, us as a county, as a government entity, leasing a use that we're being told may not be, that's uncomfortable to me.
Well, and the lease would really...
Dave's got a comment on a good chance.
Well, I was going to suggest a lease just because it would be no different than a lease to CCS. You outline what the lease is for, what the use is, and then it takes your admin out of it. You know, there's no reason your department should be doing accounting for a restaurant. Unless the board, that's the board's vision for your department or for OHV or whatever, but a lease makes their business independent of Morrill County. You're not, okay, show me your records that we actually got our 10%, here's our utilities, you know, lease. It's pretty clean.
And I don't know with, you know, with the power, the propane, everything, even if it's a $1,000 a month lease, I don't see the Harrisons coming back and wanting to do it. I mean, you know, they've been paid $5,000 to $7,000 in the year. I mean, maybe they can. But I mean, it's, you see what I'm saying, mm-hmm. with power and propane, and I mean, it.
Without our subsidy, it doesn't pencil.
Yeah, we just have to decide if the subsidy makes the park a better experience than we like that, or because it's a better experience, more people come, and in the big scheme, it brings in enough additional revenue to cover that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's.
We kind of touched on this a little bit at the workshop in Boardman, and I said, you know, the trouble with the grants and you know, the parks, it does well, but a lot of it is built on these grants. I mean, there's some pretty sizable ones, and I made the comment that at some point, you know, our policy is if a grant goes away, we're not backfilling it, and I'd be willing to bet that at some point, some of these are going to go away, and the assessor was there, and he said, I disagree with you. He said, if those grants go away, I think the county should continue to pay. And I said, are you serious? He goes, oh, yeah, for the people it brings through town and the hunters and the experience. So there is that thought out there. I don't agree, but that thought exists.
I feel like we should revise our RFP to a lower level and put it out there a second time. And what do you think about that? It's really ultimately your guidance, but I fear at least, and I fear running a mini mart.
I fear at least too. I mean, I think it's one of those you sign something up. Unless you spend a bunch of time with legal drafting.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody can move. Not saying that the current or the previous one would do that, but somebody come in there and get a lease ticket for $1,000, next thing you know, you don't know what they're doing, right. Selling.
And it's not renting a house on the corner, it's the bathroom in the middle of your house.
Right.
The kitchen in the middle of your park. It's in the middle of your park.
That's what Greg and I talked about on this one. I think it just needs to be scaled back. I mean, they made money before when it was a trailer. You know, I look at the taco truck here in town. I mean, they're making a pretty good living out of a, you know, selling that stuff here during the weeks. I mean, I know they're making a lot of money or making a pretty good living at it. So to me, that's what we looked at, was scaling back. I don't know if the Harrises want to do that, but as parks, maybe just scale back to something simpler. I'm thinking Snack Shack with some small concessions there. Chips, pop, Gatorade, bottled water, candy bars, and you sell hamburgers, chicken nuggets, breakfast sandwiches.
I like the idea of just vending machines, and then you can do your little special events. Then you got nothing. You got no people. You got ice, whatever you want. Machine. It sits there. You got your ice machine.
Number six?
Yeah, for the most part, but there's no personnel involved other than somebody coming up and hopefully refilling the vending machines. Because you can put Band-Aids in a vending machine. You can put whatever you, for the most part, you want. So you got soda, chips, whatever those things we talked about. Because I think that was actually your original idea. Let's just, here you go.
Well, we're talking about just moving seating out of one side.
Do vending machines, and if somebody wants a wedding, then we go up and move the vending machines out of the way, and or whatever event they want to have, birthday party, and you can run out the kitchen, and they can cook it up a storm. I don't know. But
we put that's back my out, preference. I mean, I don't mind putting it back out and see. It's going to cost us a couple $1,000 in advertisement. I mean, Greg's budget's through the roof right now on advertisement when we advertised where we did.
How much did it cost first strike?
I didn't have to drop this. I don't know. $2,000? Those are just, that's a ballpark tip.
Yeah.
I have to go back and ask him for sure. I know he was not happy when he started getting the bills. But we have to. I mean, we have to advertise, and advertising anymore is just expensive. I mean, there's not the people reading the newspapers, so they're charging more for advertising, and it's really hit our budget too, even in projects.
Sounds like it's a good thing that county council jumped in there and said, whoa, up, maybe we shouldn't just run that RFP this afternoon. We should take some time to rethink it.
No, it was a great opportunity. We stopped, and Matt and I are going to talk about having an RFP template, because it's been said a couple times, this is a lot of time and effort and money spent on something, in my opinion, that shouldn't require it in the future. That's what I'm saying. Let's make it sustainable. Let's make it work, and let's... There's probably a lot of other things in the park we can focus our time and energy on that would provide a much better experience and be sustainable, where we're not arm wrestling this thing. So that's what I'm looking to get out of this, is let's make it sustainable, let's move on, and let it make it work.
So instead of, I guess, I don't mind advertising in the EO, I'll ask Greg how far he wants to go. But we're going to have, first up, we're going to have to redevelop another RFP. Get it through legal to review before we get it out. So we're talking at least a week, you know, do we post? I don't think the lease is a good idea. Mm-mm. So
where are you leaning after the last weekend today? Where do you lean?
I think we need something there. Mm-hmm. Because I really hate for the guests to come back and it just be, because once you lose something, it never comes back.
How much are vending machines?
We'd have
for the type
to do
of thing
research.
He's talking about.
He has a couple up there, right?
Yeah. Let me sit down with Greg. I'll get Greg to come meet with Daryl. We can sit down and go through some stuff. I kind of maybe post. We just post on a website right at this time for another week. Get some discussion, get some pricing, get some more figures on stuff, staff.
I mean, we have batted ideas around. Maybe it's high school kids. Maybe some teacher wants to run a cooking class or a culinary class. Or I mean, I was one step away from calling a culinary school in Portland and thinking, well, what a great opportunity for them to learn how to run a business, cook, and do their thing, and making money, they're a student. I don't know. Again, we're subsidizing this thing, so the dollar amount wasn't a big deal for me. I don't want to pay for it, but I have this money anyway. So those are, but I don't think we have enough time for us to kind of piece all that together. I even went to Alvin and just said, hey, do you think that people in this town would, you, whoever, go up, you take a month, but you take 2 weeks, you provide this service, and then you come back. I mean, I don't
know. Rotate.
But he said no. So I don't think it's, I mean, those are a lot of different ideas, and I think we can keep doing those. I just don't know if we have time. You know, it's, now we're kind of up against that potentially.
You mentioned Aramark.
Greg did send a... You get on their website and it has a contact us, you know, when he filled out, and he did send one, but he has not anything back yet. I think they had some smaller facilities on there, real small, I'd say 8 or 10 bedroom places. Mm-hmm. But they must be in really high traffic areas. Their menus were pretty good. I don't want to lose the landing. I don't want to lose that there. I mean, it's a...
I think we should rerun the reduced RFP. That makes more sense for someone to try to... We have no one that wanted to try to do it as is, and we had someone that wanted to do it completely different than what we were asking for. I think we need to put it out there at a reduced thing if we want to salvage it. And if they wish to respond, then they need to do it professionally, and they need to let go of the past, and so do we, and do it professionally, because they have to deal with the county, and that's all there is to it. We don't deal with business on Facebook and down in the Gazette Times. So they want to do it professionally. They need to present their package to a reduced RFP. They need to present the blue elephant that we're asking for. And if they laid out, which, P.S., it's not legal to work off volunteer work. That's against labor law. But if they want to present a package that works under a reduced request, that's my opinion. Or number 6, and we put a couple pop machines up there.
I have no recommendation. I'll go with what Matt and the administrator and you all come up with. Beyond that, I've spent too much time on it.
I agree with Commissioner Lindsay. Write it down.
Wait a minute.
All caps. Get out.
I think we.
Oh yeah.
Go for reduce RFP and see what falls out of the tree, and if it's acceptable, we accept it. And limit our loss and still have the offering there. And if not, then we go on to a plan B, which may be vending machines. And but yeah, I think if we try and run it with county employees, we can get more money than we already have been.
Yeah.
There's one template out there you might want to look at. It came in from the Harrises, and so we know what they're willing to do. So that's something you might want to consider.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not opposed to if the Harrises are the only people interested in it, trying to figure out something that works for both of us. Because I know if they could make money at breakfast, they would be doing a breakfast. And as far as, you know, not having prime rib available when everybody has prime rib. The last time I ate at the, what do they call the restaurant down at the waterfront in Boardman?
Riverfront?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Riverfront Lodge. I went in there with about 6 guys, and their specialty was prime rib, and we all ordered it and found out they had 2. And so we drew straws to see who got prime rib, and everybody else ordered something else.
Part of where we live.
Well, and I know... I tried to make money in the restaurant business. We owned a Taco Bell Express for a while, and I could not make money at that business, no matter which way I tried to make it work. And people said, well, you're getting other additional sales, people walking in and buying candy bars that are buying, you know, Taco Bell food, and that was hard to quantify.
And if I might re-engage. I'm not sure I'm, you know, even making that suggestion. That I'm not sure I'm comfortable with subsidizing, you know, if I'm the only game in town. and they're going to give us 10% and it's still costing the county $10,000, then I need to relook at that because I don't know if I'm comfortable with it. So, and so that may, we may have to, you know, say, hey, you can do it. We can't subsidize it. You can do it. And or, you know, go with one of these other ideas where, you know, it's minimal and you get closer to, you know, very little subsidy.
Especially things like advertising. I mean, there's no reason for us to do that. Advertising the landing. That, what was the last bill? It was $1,300.
So are you saying next year, take a look at that? Because you're not saying this year, right?
It's impossible now.
Right. As the subsidizing thing, I know it's up there, but you're saying relook at the subsidizing thing, but you're talking... We redo the RFP, shave it all down, cut it up, repaste it, throw it out there. It says, are you willing to come up here and throw some hot dogs and hamburgers around and a bag of chips? Then great, we'll have you come on up.
Right.
Okay. But so we're not relooking at this.
Well, what I'm looking at is so you get Ron Carlson says I can go up there, you know, and do whatever I can do. I make hot dogs.
Right.
And I'll give you 10%, and that doesn't amount to much, but we're not having to subsidize them a lot. Or you look at these folks, and they go up there and say, we're going to go back and do what we were doing. And, you know, we'll give you 10%, but it's also going to cost the county $10,000.
Right.
Then we need to revisit whether we want to do that.
Well,
a year from now,
a new...
Right, I would think we revisit again this... coming fall when we close the, when the landing closes down.
So like a one-year deal then.
One-year deal. And then reevaluate where we're at. Is it something that we want to continue to subsidize? At what cost do we want to continue to subsidize it? Or is it break even and we're all okay with it?
And
I know Kate knows how to keep track of convenience stores and...
But again, the things that we can control
on
our electrical meter or our propane that we can't pull out, we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be advertising. We shouldn't be, you know, those things that we can control, I don't think we should be doing. The things we can't, like the electricity, is another story.
Right.
Did Parks purchase the cooler?
The walk-in.
The van?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Parks did. Yes, I'm sorry. The vendor did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all the equipment up there is ours.
Everything that's left.
Everything
is ours.
In the kitchen.
I mean, the fryers, the refrigerators, the freezers, that's all owned by the parks.
Okay, is that good enough direction?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we didn't. Yeah, my brain was.
Oh, I want to get back, Matt, to arguing about how much money we're going to give you for roads.
That's what I want to argue.
Let him get some rest and gear up a little bit.
Which one gets put off for 3 years?
So, I had a landowner. We're doing a project. Commissioner Lindsay got a tour yesterday. And if you guys, anytime you want to go, she found out there's a lot of roads I can cover in a few hours.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. With several stops.
But we're doing the Ion Boardman project, which is that, you know, 8.5 miles that went back to gravel that we found out was dirt underneath. Mm-hmm. Now it's rocked. We're working on intersections out there, putting in pipe. I mean, we've went through that looking at drainage, and there is no drainage, so we're adding pipes, and we fixed one intersection, working with another landowner. And the comment that came from the landowner to me was, I am so glad you guys are doing something. Thank you. It is really nice to see you guys out. And I said, well, express that to the commission. And he's like, I talked to Cam Sweeney, and he was talking to the road committee. And I said, you know, express that back to your commission that you're seeing. You know? And he talked to numerous people, but they were happy to see we're working, that it is going to be paved.
Yeah.
And now that they've seen that, and the same thing on Black Horse was 6.5 miles, and there was a person that complained every year asking to have that thing paved. It just wasn't going to happen, and we ground it back. There's one stretch there. It's an 18-foot-wide, 11-foot-span bridge that was starting to collapse, and we They ordered $6,500 in 8-foot pipe, and we spent about a week out there. We put it in, we took the bridge out. The road went from 18 feet wide to 30 feet. Took out a cattle guard, worked on the next intersection, and they're already saying, man, this is so much better than what it was. You know, it's just those things. It actually is good that the road complaints have slowed down.
Roads are an interesting beast. After hearing complaints what's the road we paved and needed paved for years? I'm trying to think.
Which way?
One of them?
I own Gooseberry. Does that sound right?
I own Gooseberry.
Yes, and finally we paved it, and so the people spent their first winter on the paved road, and they had 3 calls from people complaining because it was paved, and it became slicker than they could drive on it in the winter normal.
That was a stretch yesterday between, it was patches, and that was an area that's failing, and it was patch, and yeah, the first thing they get to a ball game and start complaining that now they're not dodging potholes, but are you going to rough it up?
Yeah. I was astounded. I was like, you got to be kidding. Complaining that they paved your road.
Daryl, are you available?
I'm going to steal your
2:00.
Gavel.
Okay. Let's go back and check. I put it in the computer so it doesn't have to stay here.
He wants to prove everybody's a workhorse.
What?
It's even the chair we've been in the longest day.
Are you deflecting to me?
Yeah. I am. He blames you wholeheartedly.
Oh. Okay, no problem.
Daryl and Roberta, they're trying to impress each other.
So, next Wednesday, our goal is 4:30.
4:30?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And then the one after that will be...
So are we done then for the day?
Yes. Okay. Please. Beers are down the hill, but that's where my car is at. You're 30.
I was just wondering, because Greg and I are meeting with Kate at 3.
Sandy
is meeting with Kate at 3:30, so
yep.
If we could kind of...
I'm meeting with Kate at 3:30.
That's what I'm doing.
Are you
tomorrow, I think.
Mm-hmm. Me and Kate at 3:30?
What's it going to be about?
No, you. What do you project? Sandy and I would see
I thought you said me. I'm like,
so we can do it before or after?
No, before. Between now and
when
it starts to go down. I'm a 4:30 guy, so in the morning, not the afternoon.
Are you getting up 4:30 in the morning?
Yes. I'm at my best.
Wow.
I was like, or an old man. I'm at 4:30 in the morning, but I can usually go back to sleep.
But see, if from 3 to 4, we're here. So if something works, let me. I want to ask Jim on the Ellis project.
Oh, I'll have to bring you off to get you the stuff. I got another meeting set up with the Forest Service down here. Yeah, they were showing me the plans and what they were going to do up there where Karen's cabin is. Pinlet Lake. I can't remember the name of it. And changing around some of their park and some of the county's roads or approaches. And I was like, I don't remember ever hearing about this.
I haven't seen these.
Yeah. And even one of the, I'm not sure, it's like 51 or something, one of the county roads is up on top.
They have classes for
it. Goes through that.
Emergency services.
They were talking about what they were going to do on it. I was like, have you guys talked to anyone? So I asked this gal that's over here, and I can't remember her name.
It's a safety. Nope.
Hey, who's the interim gal over here?
Where?
At the Forest Service.
Virginia Gibbons.
Virginia Gibbons. And so she just came in short term, and she says, oh, no, it's all right here in the Ellis Project. We're working on it all. And I said, you know, I don't think Public Works has ever mentioned anything. I don't think we're aware of this. And she goes, oh, I would think you would be. And so I was like, can you set up a meeting? She's like, I'm here one more week, which was last week. And she says, I'm leaving. And they will eventually hire another one to come in. So anyhow, I got a meeting with the guy in Pendleton, and I'm going to try and get in a meeting with people here so I can get exactly what it is about.
Well, if you have meetings, I'd love to go with
it. Yeah, okay. I'll keep it.
I need to get with the new one to make sure we continue getting our easement on the 21 road. That was all a conversation, and we were
not everybody.
And everybody keeps asking me, well, what are you going to do on that 21?
I should
have. It's going to stay the same as it is. We're going to play it, but
she's
she
really
can't do anything.
She's the only
one. Those sort of things are playing. You know, so I'm like, all right, I'll go to the bathroom. I'll go.
valves are sliding right here.
I still want to do it. Here's all the problems.
Yesterday I was still jazzing at 10 o'clock. I don't know what happened.
From my, what I understand, was when this first came up, it was time to read it. John wanted
it. Turned out. Okay.
John, because he was.
Oh, yeah. He was himself.
He wanted to know himself. Well, that opened it up. And he says,
I missed the show.
Let's read the power. It's the
For me.
Well, then it started. So that, and there was friction, we've all had more important things to do in the last, five words, this many hours on something. Then I went through and Kim and Greg went up and met Jay, and they sat down and they actually have a room that they drew lines through and said, this doesn't work. And when I came and sat down with Kim and Greg on it, because we're moving forward, and then just as we sat down, she had an email that said,
not gonna change anything. Yeah.
And that's real hard.
I got the menu with all the strike tubes.
And it's real, it'd be so different than if my trucking contractor, they called and said, hey, I need $2 million. He's like, well, and I can't get them for a year. You should be able to sit down and be like, hey, what's going on here?
I get it, but I'm just saying.
Anyways, I just want you to know, I'm nice.
Oh, good.
You and I work forward. There's all kinds of stuff that, not little stuff, but it's just stuff that I'm like, really, I have to spend this much time. My contractor down there. It's on construction. And the first day when I took over, where are we at on this? What's your point? What are we on about? I think we'll be fine. And I'm like, we sat down. And then it's, what time frame? Here's the schedule. And I'm like, we'll be done with this. And then I'm getting involved that he finally, I pushed him so far yesterday. Because he admitted 2 weeks ago he'd be ready for flooring on Monday. He told me yesterday. He said, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. He told me.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But, to me, it's. It's those little things I would have done differently. So, just rolling through it. You and I, let's go that way.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. And to me, it's, we have these discussions and they're real, but to me, it's water off a duck's back. This is part and parcel of what, me staying in my lane, doing my job, and you doing yours, but, moving forward and doing the next thing. I don't ever harbor any ill will or anything.
I can tell you, Greg is, one, he wants us to work somehow, and he works with ass off. He puts in, if he doesn't put in more hours than me, I'd be surprised. And, I know he was excited this week. He found his Verizon deal he can get for his phone. He's hoping that he's testing it out because it'll save him $300 a month.
Oh, really?
He's always looking.
Yeah.
That's for me from Melissa.
Yeah. I thought you're open, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Yeah. I have a little.
Jim sounds better this afternoon.
Oh, I do. I'm better. Oh my God. Yeah. I wish I was gonna die.
You probably have the same stuff I did. You couldn't breathe. Your head was plugged till about 10 o'clock.
And yep.
I didn't have those symptoms. I just had some type of stomach virus that I threw up violently for about 16 hours.
That was me last Thursday in the morning. I thought I was going to have got a massage the night before. They tell you drink lots of water.
And I did drink lots of water during that. My wife kept reminding me, and I was glad I did because then we didn't have the dry heaves. I haven't done that in 25 years.
Right?
like, every week he puts it in my office.
Oh, no, it's
what
fine.
What is he thinking?
I wouldn't have cared.
I want it.
I was trying to save you the trip.
Roberta, today I did not have a good day.
Well, some days are like that. I don't know.
I was discouraged all the way around.